Hello, and welcome to our website, hccdonna.org. Thank you for listening to this week's sermon titled, What Are You Expecting? In this sermon, we learn that we should not be surprised when God answers our prayers, because we should be expecting. In addition, this week's sermon was very special because it was preached by our newly licensed co-pastor, Pastor Alyssa Ozuna. Now on to this week's sermon.
Go ahead and just hand the mic off to Alyssa. She has a great message for us today, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Well, I think it's the Ozuna family leading the service today. That was our oldest daughter, Casey, leading us in worship. So it's just amazing to see the whole family just loving the Lord. And I was sitting with Sarah there, and she's just singing her heart out. I'm like, and I have my brother and sister with us now today, too. Good news is, maybe in a month or two, they're going to be moving down permanently. So my heart is just jumping for joy. I'm getting choked up that our family is coming back together. Why'd you have to be here today? But God is an amazing God, and I'm so glad that you're here. And this message actually came incredibly quickly. Usually, I'm such a perfectionist. When I know it's going to be my turn to preach, I want to know like a month in advance so I can really plan it out. And I think this time, God's like, you don't need any time. You're going to preach this one. So it actually happened last Saturday. Elias felt like he was coming down with like a really bad stomach bug. And he's like, I don't think I'm going to make it tomorrow. You're going to have to preach. And this is like at 8 o'clock. And I'm like, holy smokes, I got to preach tomorrow? I need like a month runtime. Like, no. So I was like, all right, I'm going to the bedroom. Don't bother me. I put in my headphones and listening through some worship music. And I was like, okay. And I mean, it was literally God like, boom, 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 with the thoughts. And I was like, oh, that's good. I'm praying. Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah, Lord, that's a good one. So even if it doesn't touch you today, it touched me so incredibly powerful because God gave me these thoughts, these scriptures, this reminder, this almost like push about prayer. So I hope it touches your heart today and you take something away from it as well. I don't have the sermon notes because I'm not as professional with preaching yet as my husband, amazing husband. So you don't have any notes to follow along with. But if you have paper, pencil, please feel free to write something down. So Elias has been preaching about sowing and sowing in prayer. So this is actually about prayer. So the title is, What Are You Expecting When You Pray? What are you expecting? Ooh, love it. What are you expecting when you pray? Are you expecting just to pray and this heavenly being will be like, oh, that's so sweet. They're thinking I'm going to answer that. Oh, no, I'm not going to answer that. No, that's not what we should be expecting. When we pray, there should be some expectation that God is listening. God loves you. Even that first song, even if we don't see it with our eyes, we believe and we expect that God is going to do it. Amen? Sometimes we get totally surprised by it, and we weren't expecting God to answer it. Well, I have a little funny illustration. I brought a little bag to give you a little illustration about what you are told. We don't always believe, and when it happens, we get totally surprised. There might be times where you pray for something, and someone comes and says, God's confirmed, and God says, this is going to happen. And you're like, wow, I didn't even tell Sue I was praying about that. But God touched Sue's heart to come and tell me, yes, confirmation. God heard your prayer, and he's going to answer it. And I'm like, what? You know, you might be surprised and thrown off that God just used someone else to tell you, yes, don't be surprised. It's going to happen. Well, here's a situation where somebody was told something, and they were totally shocked and surprised when it actually happened. So when we came from Ireland, I was about 7. And Mom had packed a little bag of toys. Dad had packed a bag of books, his religious books that he loved, he wanted to bring. Because we had 7 suitcases to move to another country. And that's it. And $300. That's all they had. Talk about walking by faith. So we had 7 suitcases to move our entire family to a new country. So Dad wanted to take books. Mom was persistent. No, Alyssa's 7. She needs some of her toys. I'm like, yes, I need my toys. Yeah. So mom took dad's books out of the bag and put more toys in for me. So I had my toys. So we get to the immigration in Dallas. And so, of course, you go through immigration. You're coming from a country where there's terrorists. You're going to go through a little bit more push and questioning. So the immigration officer was really rude, really gave my dad a hard time. He's like, "What's in this suitcase, sir?" He's like, "Stuffed toys." He's like, "Yeah, yeah, sir, what's in this bag?" He's like, "Stuffed toys." And so the guy was so angry and persistent, I think my dad and him probably started butting heads pretty quickly, because my dad doesn't take any nonsense from anybody. So they probably butted heads, and then my dad screamed out, "There's pink stuffed animals in there, like a pink elephant." And the guy's like, "Yeah, right." And he unzips it, and what pops out literally and hits him? A pink stuffed elephant. He was told he should have been expecting it, but he didn't believe it. And yes, many, many years later, I still have my little pink fuzzy elephant. So this is a reminder as I preach, you have been told God will answer your prayer. Don't be surprised and shocked when it comes to pass. You have been told, you've been warned, God is listening. Amen? And look, look, look. It still squeaks. So God is listening. Amen? So there's so many times we pray, we're surprised that it happens, but God keeps his promises. Amen? Amen. Well, the Bible is also filled with examples where people prayed and they were shocked that God actually answered it. As humans, why do we do that? We know God answers prayers. So when we pray, we should be expecting God is listening. Why are we surprised when he answers? Like, I'm like dumbfounded. And I started thinking about our own life, Elias and I, with our kids. We would pray for things. And God would answer, and we'd be like, "Wow, that's so cool. God answered that prayer." Like, why were we so surprised? God is a good God, and he loves us. Why are we surprised? Well, here's an example in the Word. We're going to go to Acts 12. Acts 12. And we're going to start at verse 1. So God gave me this story in the Word because I think it's pretty funny. As we know, Peter was arrested, put in jail. The church starts praying for him, and God answers their prayer, and they're blown away, and then they can't even believe it. So let's go into the Word. I'm going to read the NIV version. Are we ready? Yes. Okay. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, which is a shame, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. After arresting him, he put him in prison, handing him over to be guarded by four squads of four soldiers. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. And I'm like, four squads of four soldiers? He must have really been intense. Like, I'm going to do some damage here. The Jews seem to really like it. I'm going to get more approval from the Jews, but I want to make sure this guy doesn't go anywhere. So four times four is what? 16 soldiers for one person. They must have been terrified. Don't let this guy go. 16 people for one person. So let's go to verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Expected. You would expect something's wrong. Peter's in jail. The church is going to gather to pray and believe. Okay, sounds right. Verse 6. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. So he's surrounded. Verse 7. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, quick, get up," he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Verse 8. Then the angel said to him, "Put on your clothes and sandals." And Peter did so. "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me," the angel told him. Verse 9. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. Even Peter, strong, solid, the rock of the church, he didn't even believe what was happening. So it's okay. When I start to doubt what's happening, I don't feel so bad, because even the mighty spiritual Peter doubted what was even happening to him. He thought he was just dreaming. But it wasn't a dream. They've been praying for this. All right, so verse 10. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Verse 11. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen." Translation in Alyssa's world. Oh my God, our Heavenly Father just answered my prayer. Whoa, amazing. He probably had to stand there for a minute and like settle himself. That just happened. So verse 12 says, "When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were what? Praying. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was overjoyed. She ran back without opening it and exclaimed, 'Peter is at the door.'" Why didn't she just open the door? Why did she have to go tell somebody? Was she still like not quite sure that the prayer had already been answered? But then verse 15 really cracked me up. This is what they tell her. "You're out of your mind," they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "Oh, okay, well, it must be an angel." I'm like, no, it is exactly what you prayed for. Why can't you accept it? God has just given you a mighty miracle. And then I like verse 16. But Peter kept knocking. Come on. Kept knocking. And when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished, surprised that God had fulfilled it. He had answered the prayer. And then Peter motioned with his hand for them to shh, be quiet, and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. "Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this," he said. And then they left for another place. Think about this one. They prayed, "Lord, please let Peter be released." They're gathered all together in prayer. And then when it happens, they're like, what? Astonished and shocked. They could not believe what had just really happened. God does answer our prayers. Amen. And then I asked this question to myself when I was reading that story. What were they expecting to happen then? God answered the prayer. What were they expecting? God let Peter get released. Well, that's what you prayed. What did you expect? Amen? What were you expecting then? If God answered the prayer and you're so surprised and astonished, well, what were you expecting then? God not to answer it? Well, then why pray? Huh? All right, let's look at another cool story. We're going to go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, we're going to start at verse 5. Now, back in Peter's story, as you look for Luke 1, verse 5, as you look for that, back in the Peter story, it doesn't tell us how long they had to wait for God to answer the prayer. I'm thinking it might have been just a day or a couple of days, because it sounded like it was pretty quick. But God doesn't always answer your prayer right away. As people have been serving the Lord for a long time, you know that. You don't pray today for something to happen and God answers it before the day ends. Sometimes it does happen. Sometimes you have to wait a little bit. And we don't understand, why is this happening? Why is it taking so many months, so many years, so many decades to God to answer this prayer? Well, here's a story that helps us realize sometimes God's going to answer your prayer, but it's going to be delayed a little bit. But I think this is where The glory of God is so amazing because we've waited so long for it to happen that when it happens, we're still surprised. But I think it feels so much more impactful because we've waited so long. Amen? I'm thinking of Ernie and Letty. They prayed for Gabriel to be conceived. For 6 years, they prayed for a baby. 6 years. And when it happened, you're pretty astonished, weren't you, Letty? Like, we're really going to have a baby? Yes. And the joy was even more amplified because they did have to wait. So let's look at this. This is about Zechariah and the coming of John the Baptist, actually. It says in verse 5, the time of King Herod of Judah, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah? How do you say that? Abijah. His wife Elizabeth was also a descendant of Aaron. Both of them were righteous in the sight of God, observing all the Lord's commands and decrees blamelessly. Verse 7, but they were childless because Elizabeth was not able to conceive, and they were both very old. And I was like, all right, how old is old? Because I'm 43. How old is old? I always wonder about the Bible when it says they were very old. How old is old? But we get it. They're too old to be parents now. Verse 8 says, once when Zechariah's division was on duty and he was serving as priest before God, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Verse 10, and when the time for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. So that means it was just Zechariah inside. He was all alone with the Lord. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar. Altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Check the box. God heard me. I prayed. God heard me. Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. He will bring back many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God, and he will go on before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So, in reflection, what we just read, God's heard your prayer. He's about to answer it. And it's waiting. You've waited decades for this to happen because it needed to be delayed for God's perfect time. Not because the answer was no. It's because you need to wait because John needs to come to lead the people and prepare them to be ready for Jesus, the Messiah. If John had been born back when they were the correct age to have children, in their 20s and 30s, he would have been not ready to prepare the way for Jesus coming. Amen? So the prayer was answered, but it was delayed to get ready for God's perfect timing. And in our life, sometimes the answer is wait. I need to put all these other puzzle pieces together and the plan for your life, so you need to wait a little while or decades for me to get everything right before I can answer that prayer. I think about mom's uncle, Uncle Samuel, praying since I was probably a baby, 43 years, for him to come to know the Lord, and it still hasn't happened yet. But he's still alive, still heart's pumping, there's still a chance for it to happen. And I don't believe the answer to that prayer is no. I believe the answer to that prayer is, it's going to happen in my perfect time. Don't stop praying. It will happen. Don't doubt. It's going to happen. It just needs to be part of my plan and part of the right time. Amen? So if we look at verse 18, it says, Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? Are you going to question an angel standing right in front of you? Are you sure? No, I don't think. I think I would be so freaked out I wouldn't be able to speak at all. How can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in the years. I like that. It doesn't say she's too old. She's well on in years, well along. Okay, very polite husband. 19, the angel said to him, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you will be silent, unable to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time. And if you want in your Bible, highlight, underline, appointed time. It's not what we would prefer. It's in God's appointed time, when God needs it to happen for his kingdom, for his glory, not for our convenience. Our convenience is completely irrelevant. It's when it's time, when it's God's timing. Verse 21 says, meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering why he stayed so long in the temple. When he came out, he could not speak to them. They realized he had seen a vision in the temple, for he kept making signs to them but remained unable to speak. Can you imagine what was he doing? Like waving his hands frantically, but he couldn't communicate the amazing thing that just happened. Verse 23 says, when his time of service was completed, he returned home. After this, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and for 5 months remained in seclusion. The Lord has done this for me, she said. In these days, he has shown his favor and taken away my disgrace among the people. That is an incredible story. Amen. I wrote down, his prayer was delayed in order to align with God's timing. We need to be in alignment with God. Alignment with our Savior, who knows what's best for us. Amen? So both of these passages involve people that were either shocked, confused, not believing that God was actually going to answer their prayers. But I want to tell you, God is always listening. And we can sit here and read all these passages and say, goodness, weren't these strong, religious people? Why would they doubt? Why would they be so surprised? Because they're human just like us. The Bible doesn't say these people were superheroes. They were still flesh and blood, just like you and me. They still had questions and doubt. But we need to be doing better with our faith. Amen? So Elias has been preaching. So in prayer, pray. Don't stop believing. Expect that God is going to respond to us. And okay, if you're surprised, well, that's okay. God's answered your prayer. If God makes you wait a little while, okay, don't be surprised when God actually answers your prayer. Walking right out the door is another miracle right there. God answered prayer for her life many, many times in operating rooms and in ICU rooms. And God always answered the prayers. It may have taken some time, but it wasn't decades, thank the Lord. But even if you have to wait decades, like Zechariah and Elizabeth did, don't doubt. Let God give you the peace, for one, that he's heard you. He's going to answer it. Just believe, have patience, and continue to push and ask and petition. Petition the Lord. Continue to pray that God is going to answer it. Amen? But I want to give you one more thought before we close. There are going to be times where God flat out says, no, can't do that for you. It might be because we're asking for a selfish reason. It could be because it's not part of God's plan. And if he answers your prayer, it's going to mess up the big picture of your life or the big picture for what he's intended for you to be a part of. And don't feel that God doesn't love you because he says no. Think of Jesus, his own son. Jesus was told no to one of his prayers. Can you think about what it was? Take this cup of suffering from me. Jesus didn't want to have to go be beaten to death and nailed on a cross. He didn't want to have to go through that pain and that suffering because he was part human. He felt that pain was going to hurt, and he knew it was coming. But he had to be told no. because we wouldn't have the ability to be part of God's family if Jesus was able to get the answer. Yes, God told him, yes, you don't have to suffer. You don't have to die for these people. You don't have to be the Lamb of God. We'd be lost. We'd be still lost in our sin. So if God tells you no, don't feel like you're the only one that God said no to. He even said no to his very own son. But this is where you come back. Don't doubt. Don't be confused. Still trust him that if that answer is no, there might be a bigger prayer that's going to come. There might be a bigger, more amazing thing that you didn't even know you could pray for, because you couldn't imagine in your physical mind that God could do something even better, even more special for you than what you could even imagine. So don't be offended if God tells you no, because he's got a reason for it. Amen? He told Jesus no. He might tell us no. He might say yes. It's going to happen tomorrow. He might say yes. It's part of my plan. But you need to wait a little while. And we need to say, okay, God, we'll wait. And we'll believe you that it's going to be at the appointed time. I have one scripture in closing for us. Let's go to Psalms 27. Psalms 27, 13 through 14. Again, Psalms 27. And Casey or Victoria, if you could go back to verse 13. If not, it's okay. I'll read it up. Verse 13, Psalms 27, 13 says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Verse 14, wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. I want to read it again. Verse 13, I will remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I will wait for the Lord. I will be strong. I will take heart. I will wait for the Lord. Can I hear him? Amen? Amen. Are you going to remain confident in this? Are you going to see the goodness of the Lord? Are you going to wait for him? Are you going to be strong in him? And you're going to take heart and wait for him. Amen? Amen. So when you pray, be confident that God is good. He hears your prayers. He will answer. The answer may surprise you. It may be delayed a little bit. Or he might give you the peace that the answer is no. But either way, God is listening. We must sow in prayer, because we're not praying to a God who doesn't hear. We're praying to a God who listens and who cares and loves that personal time with you, where you go away from everything else in your life and you just spend time with him. We must sow in prayer. We must expect it to be answered. Amen? Amen. So expect it. You've been told. Amen? You know what's coming out of that suitcase. You know what's going to happen when you pray. There's going to be an answer. Yes, it's coming. Yes, wait a little bit. Or no, I've got something better. Amen? Amen. Amen.